Don't be caught bored waiting for something to go bump in the night. Listen to the Paranormal Broadcast System with Brad, Brandon, Todd, and Paul.
Well, hello, Mr. Phantom Man.
Listen to some great interviews with some amazing guests that run the gamut from ghost hunting groups across the country to paranormal personalities in the media. First, let's be serious for a moment. Then let's have some fun! We've got it all covered. Tune in and listen to intriguing interviews with our hosts from L.A. Spirits and the Louisiana Spectral Research Center. Then kick back and listen to us try to be funny with some crazy Cajuns. And some other guys, too. This is no kids show, folks. It's the Paranormal Broadcast System. Listen to us poke fun at ourselves. It's funnier that way. You can find us at www.laghosts.com. That's www.laghosts.com.
Interested in ghosts? UFOs? How about the occult? Are you psychic? Would you like to find out? Well, if you're intrigued by the world's curiosities and all that is paranormal, then Paralore.com is a place for you. Create your own profile, start a photo album, write a blog, or just hang out and watch countless hours worth of paranormal videos while chatting with other Paralore members. Who knows? You could win a prize or two if you're quick and brave enough. It's all here, and it's all free. Visit www.paralore.com and join today. Again, membership is free, and we know you won't be disappointed.
Paralore.com. Unlock your mind.
Shadow dies from the end of sorrow. Tomorrow might not exist, and you should have been dead. Now maybe you're dead and you just don't know. Shadow dies from the end of sorrow. Tomorrow might not exist, and you should have been dead. Should have been dead 10 times over. Like 10 times over. Should have been dead.
Charm and mystery of the deep sound through ghost stories by attending the highly respected Roswell Ghost Tour. Your experienced guide will lead you on this 2-hour outdoor walking tour through the historic district of Roswell. One of the highlights of the tour is a visit to Founders Cemetery, the burial site of Roswell King, where bodies are buried beneath modern streets and houses. Grand Greek Revival mansions and humble mill workers' apartments are some of the haunted sites you'll see on this mile of easy walking. Project, RoswellGhostTour.com for the current schedule. Tours run most Friday and Saturday nights year-round, and private tours may be arranged. Reservations are required. Call 770-649-9922. That's 770-649-9922 for more information. Happy haunting from Roswell Ghost Tours.
You are listening to Ghostly Time with your hosts Doug and Scott L.
Okay, so we're back on the air. That was a flurry of activity, wasn't it?
Well, you know, we don't have our usual timekeeper here.
Right, right. Because, yeah, normally we hear, 1 minute, 3 seconds. But not this time. Alexandra Holzer is the daughter of the original ghost hunter, published author Professor Hans Holzer, Ph.D., with a second book due out in the fall of 08 alongside Hans. Her and her father are publishing for the first time under the same house. Alexandra has created a monthly column named Spirit Talk for the Paranormal Awareness Society and for UFODigest.com, allowing her readers to freely ask questions on the paranormal, something that I plan on doing for the next hour.
Uh-oh, look out. You're in trouble.
I get to freely ask questions on the paranormal. Alexandra Holzer, yes. Oh my gosh, this is such an honor to be talking to you.
Oh my gosh! Thank you. That's really fun hearing that. And I think if I ever get somewhere in life, if I still hear that, I'll have to giggle. I can't help it. that's hauntingly scary. You know, it's funny because doing everything that I didn't think I was going to end up doing makes it that much more, I guess, in a sense, spiritually accepting in a positive way. So I think when things like this happen, it's a good thing. So,
well, I know I'm excited because first of all, who among us does not own a? Oh, hang on, Bonnie's pointing at me. What? Oh, one of them is dead. My goodness, let me.
I think that's
that
the main one.
Our main. Great.
Sorry.
It looks like our main feed went out for a moment there. Oops. Okay, I fixed it. Anyway, so what happens is that I don't think there's anybody among us who doesn't own at least 1 or 10 Hans Holzer books.
I have one. It's huge.
Yeah, they're huge.
The ghost book?
Yes. Oh, my God. I love it.
So you grew up around this, didn't you? What was that had to be, like, for me, it would have been like Kid in a Candy Store, right?
It was.
I'm so jealous.
I'll share with you, okay? I promise.
Oh, please, please. Do it now, do it now.
My book is coming out, and it's actually pushed up from fall to spring of 08 because Schiffer Publishing, we were able to get in early. I submitted everything, and I'm actually helping with Hans's newest book, and then my own, which is a memoir called Growing Up Haunted, a ghostly memoir, which is pretty much... Yeah, it's going to tell you things that obviously you wouldn't know unless you were in the inside of things. And it's going to put a human face on Hans Holzer and that he was a father and a husband and you know, there was a lot of dysfunction there. And growing up in that family was very magical. And I have a chapter in there called The Witch's Ball where, you know, I'd go to school and kids, you know, their parents would go to their... You know, their parents would go to the office parties, you know, whether it was held at a restaurant or at the company. My father went to the witch's ball. And so how do you, like, equate that to a suit and tie versus, you know, a chain around his neck with Wicca and my father's off, you know, with an opened up black shirt, his hair slicked back, saying, off to the witch's ball, you know, that was his thing. So that's how it was like.
Did you, I mean, what, like, you know, wasn't there an event like in school where you, you know, bring your father to school and, you know, show and tell? Kind of, I mean, it's like, oh, this is my dad, and he flies all over the country and all over the world and investigates hauntings and helps people. I mean, how do you introduce that to your friends? I mean, was there peer pressure or was it the coolest
thing? I didn't have many friends. It was almost like, it was trying to pull teeth. Throughout the middle school years, when children can become rather difficult and a little bit more cruel.
Oh yeah.
And I have four of my own. Okay, so you know, it starts very early on, and it gets worse as they get older. My mother would have to start calling children to come over to play because I think what was going on, and I went to very private schools in the Upper West Side in New York City. They struggled to put my sister and I through the best school system, even though they would, you know, it would cost a lot of money and, you know, to get a great education. And the children there, I mean, it just, you know, things would go around, believe it or not. Things way back then, not to age myself, but I'm 36, hello, so, you know. You know, my mother would be on the phone calling so-and-so to come over for a play date because it was known that my father chased ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my life. And I liked things that were different. I thought cemeteries were ridiculous because at the age of five, my Parisian grandmother, you know, looked at me and said, you know, what's the problem when we would pass by one? I said, well, what's the point? There's nothing in there. They're holes. You know, so even then I got what the difference was of when we pass. And that's really rare, and I think intuitive and part of where you come from. And so that was part of growing up in that kind of a family and that life. And so when you come to elementary school and middle school, kids, you know, don't want to be part of that because maybe perhaps their parents don't get it. So, you know, especially in private school systems, it's just very taboo to talk about ghosts, you know, at least back then, so...
I think with the popular media nowadays, mm-hmm. I mean, look at all the channels we get on, because I'm just a wee bit older than you are, Alexandra, so
just a hair,
but I do remember TV before cable, and now that cable TV is out, and the satellite TV and stuff like that, and you get all these, you know, hundreds of channels, and during, obviously, October is... their humongous time where everything is haunted on TV. It's a little bit more acceptable now, I think, to talk about, which is actually, I think, a good thing.
I mean, we're headed towards paranormal awareness, and I think when you see Medium, when you see Ghost Whisperer, and I mean, those are fielded from real life stories and people that exist in our life that are actually around our age and not that much older. And so I think the point of why I'm coming into my own is to also tap into the entertainment industry and say, you know what, this is very cool, it's very hip. There are people half our age who are teens that want to understand what a ghost is, what a spirit is, what an orb is, and not just to read a lame definition from a book or all these websites that can just shoot these things out. That they want to understand because some experience it, others don't experience it, but want to know what is the real meaning of it. And that's where I come into play, where I explain, look, I don't personally believe in everything, but I believe in what I believe in, and I certainly stick by that. And I think, you know, it's just part of society. And the fact that we've got all these TV shows, like you were saying, versus, you know, it's on prime time and cable. I think, you know, between the Sci-Fi Channel and Discovery and CBS and NBC, it just, you can see the audience loves it. They gravitate to the unknown.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know.
It used to be like the fodder, that's probably the wrong word, but it used to be the fodder of, you know, campfires and camping, or if you had several friends over for an overnight sleeping party, mm-hmm. slumber party kind of thing, and ghost stories were that, you know. Since then, you know, we've gotten, obviously, the media attention. We've also gotten the internet.
Yes.
And suddenly you can look up ghost stories from everywhere.
Yeah.
On the planet, and be like, wow, you know, all this stuff goes on. For some reason, out in, I don't know if it's I don't know if it's in Africa or not, but there's this news. It's an actual newspaper, but their online version. Obviously, I don't subscribe to their newspaper, but their but their online version. They're over there. They're constantly talking about, oh, so and so got became a zombie, so the village had to stone him. Or I
oh,
mean,
God.
You know, there's all these different things that just happen, and it's happening today. This is 2007, and this wild stuff is actually becoming. Mm-hmm. Something that people talk about and report in the news. Yet I've seen the other side too,
mm-hmm.
where you'll see like very important newscasters and things grab a story, the dancing lady in the car lot, the mm-hmm. dancing ghost in the car lot, that kind of thing, and they kind of mock it a little bit still. So I'm thinking that perhaps it is getting better. It's not quite there yet. So paranormal awareness is mm-hmm. is. Very, very well put. We're becoming more paranormally aware, and your Paranormal Awareness Society, I think, is obviously helping. And I think I'm looking forward to the day when a ghost can pop out of a door and be captured on a closed circuit camera and then taken seriously.
Well, I think the problem is, and I think the bottom line is. This is the way life works. You're born, you live, you pass, you may come back, you may not. And, what we do with our life while we have time on Earth is really our choice. And as much as we believe in things, well, it is what it is, a lot of what was given to us, if you believe, is free will. And how you live your life, if it's not what you want to be, then tomorrow you better wake up and change it, because it's going to take time to get to point A from point B. And if you got from point A to point B and went to point C, and it's not what you wanted, you're going to turn around and do it again. And if you have that chance and you're healthy to do it, you're lucky. And the bottom line is, it's not just about the paranormal. The paranormal is a huge umbrella housing everything that we can't explain, or sometimes we can, that we don't want to deal with, because it's much easier to wake up, put on our shoes, get out the door, and live our life. Because it's tangible, it's physical, we can cope, because that's what the human race is about. It's mental, it's physical, we're not robotic. You know, we're not programmed to always get everything. And those that do, those that don't, and then there are those that sit on the fence with everything, and then those that coast through life, and then they pass. You know, and then there's the horrible side of things where there is evil. And it's not just, demons, which Hans does not believe in, by the way. He calls it something else. I mean, there's just bad and good in the world, good and bad, and it is what it is. And I think a lot of paranormal issues, I think people kind of blow it out of proportion. And I think some of it's very dramatic for effect, which is very cool, But some of it has to be explained just properly and say, listen, stuff happens. And I refrain from using the SH word because, But, it does. Things happen in life. And so what? Deal with it and move on and stop acting as if, oh, my gosh. I mean, it's been around forever. We're very small. Earth is not that old. I mean, people have to understand that. There's a universe out there. And there's still alien and UFO sightings. And there's a vast interest in the paranormal. It's a huge umbrella. And I think exposing it is great. I think discussing it is healthy, like anything else in any industry in this world, whether it be the topic of mechanics, whether it be on the topic of textile or production or movies in the industry, it doesn't matter. Every topic deserves, both sides, and there's both sides to every story. And I'm trying to kind of break the path and say, listen, Haas is very scientific. He pioneered ghost hunting. His first book was called Ghost Hunter.
Yeah.
He is the one that did it. And I think it's great that there are those that are able to have prime time and, get shows to go about with, the equipment that's available nowadays and go and do what they do, because it really lends insight to what else we could find out. So it's evolution. It's part of life. It's not meant to be taken to a different level of, it's the way of the world now.
Well, and I wonder if, my own interest in the paranormal started when I was not even a teenager yet, and I found a book on witchcraft, right? And I know that that's a little bit outside. It's still paranormal, but it's outside of what I've grown into, right? I've grown into ghosts and Bigfoot and psychic phenomena like with Edgar Casey and stuff like that. So I've you know, that's where I've led. But it started with this book on witchcraft, and I wonder if I had lived instead of in the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and now, you know, zeros. What if I had lived in the 1930s, 40s, 50s, 60s, you know, like if I had started my life earlier, would I have ever picked up that book on witchcraft? Probably not. It probably hadn't even been written. Would I have, you know, been, you know, lamenting the, you know, the decay or the whatever happened to spiritualism, you know, back in the zeros and in 1900s, that's when it was sort of, it was dying out in the 10s and 20s. So what would I have done? Would I have even been interested in this? Would
I feel like you're drawn to a topic that in your current life path, you're wondering, why am I drawn to this? Was I perhaps here at another time? Was I part of a ritual back in the 1800s where they believed that certain people were witches and they were burned at the stake with their families? Perhaps you were reincarnated, again, under the paranormal umbrella. Perhaps you in this lifetime are a reincarnate of something that is coming back, pulling you towards something that subconsciously you have a connection to, but of course consciously, logistically, realistically, as a human being, like I said, we're not robots, that you can't quite understand. Why are you so interested in it? What drew you to that in the first place, whether you were age 10 or age 50? Doesn't matter. There's an interest there. Well, that makes you who you were and who you are. It's part of your soul, your persona. Why? Well, what if? Well, these are all questions that will never be answered until you cross over, and things will be explained to you. And it's an individual experience, and nobody can put it down or explain it. It has to be experienced. And that's what life is all about in a nutshell. So.
It is definitely quite a journey. I mean, I get to talk to folks like you, and
the weirdos.
which is amazing, because this is exactly... Definitely not.
I refuse. I'm sorry. I'm still a size 4, and I've had 4 kids, and I wear very nice outfits to put my children on the school bus. The other 2 are at home with me, and let me tell you something. I refuse. I like creepy, evil, weird. I believe in good and bad, and I don't need to be wearing, you know, certain outfits to show that, well, because I have kids, I'm going the other route. You know, no, that's okay.
Well, and that's another thing. What if you and Hans, your father Hans, what if you guys had been like now instead of, you know, 20, 30 years ago? What if it had been now? Would you have grown up and become a, what are those, goth chick person or something like that, and then just, you know, wrote, you know, depressing poetry for the rest of your life? Or because you grew up in the 70s and 80s, you decided, no, you didn't even have the option. I don't think there were goth people.
But it's
then.
Pre-planned, you see. I mean, again, everybody's with, you know, when people think about what if, I mean, that's a natural part of, you know, what we have to go through is we ask those questions whether we want to or not, whether we're rich and famous or we're not, you know. I mean, the bottom line is, you know, this is all predestined, pre-planned, and pre-fated. You know, like I said, we have free will, and what we choose to do with something is our gut feeling. If we go with it, we go with it. We must be patient, we must pursue, and we must persevere. But if we question, if we panic and freak out, we're going to divert. And that's kind of where I kind of try to come into play and say, well, you know, I can go through the what ifs. Listen, I'm 36. I've had 4 children. I'm in a marriage of 12 years. I have a home. I do the whole thing. I don't have a white picket fence. It's oak. Thank you. I prefer oak. excuse me, but I'm not Betty Crocker. But I cook well, so, you know.
Well, there you go.
You know, but then again, then I have an awakening of my own spiritual experience, which I could have had 100 times over because of where I was born into, chosen from the other side. I had it now. I had it because it was meant to be. It was my time. Do not question it. Go with it or don't. And so that's kind of how I take it. And it's very frustrating, let me tell you, because every day when I write to agents in California, when I come up with something in my head and say, you know what, this would be really great. I've got people writing to me off the IMDBs that I keep Hans's, you know, post boards going that he would ever, you know, touch with a 10-foot pole because, you know, a computer to him is like, what is this? And let me tell you, he has one. It collects dust. It's not working. So I step in, and I fill in all the information. And I've got people that are half our age and who are in their 50s that are writing in, you know, for example, the Amityville Horror. Yeah. That is the most recent situation. Could we please, 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 Alexandra, bring back Amityville the way it should be, and let's tell the story about what happened before. And I agree. And so that's another project that I'm working on, is let's stop with all the remakes that happens in our history, you know, with Poltergeist. We actually, Hans and I, filmed their re-releasing Poltergeist from Time Warner, and we went on as paranormal experts, and I walked in. I had, in the pouring rain, we drove in from upstate New York an hour to my father's. I walk in the apartment I grew up in. Yikes. I said, okay, this is why I don't come here that often. I had my 6- and 8-year-old, which I felt at the time, you know, very cool. You know, these guys are setting up to film. Very good experience for them. I feel that being creative is the best for the children. I do not hold back for them. When I see that they're at that point, they can get it. And they came in with me walking over the wires, you know, and looking at everything. So they're, okay, you go into your aunt's room over there, and I'm going to go here and talk to these guys. And we set up to film to talk about Poltergeist and the case and what is a poltergeist, and to basically go on and say, listen, you know, these things happen. You know, way back from the 80s, the film is made, everybody gets cuckoo over it, becomes a cult classic. Well, but there's a case there behind it, just like Amityville. Something happened.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're there in the time, in the heat of the moment, in the 70s and 80s, and you're investigating these cases, there is credibility, respect, reports being taken, way back where there was not technology, you know, where you could do EVP and dowsing and, you know, so, you know, it just, it was what it was. So basically you have to respect that, and it's always going back to the basics, and we lose that in modern times. And so I guess the point of everything is, you know, things happen, and it's good to revamp them and remake them, but let's just do it properly.
Have you ever seen any of these? Because I've obviously read some of Hans Holzer's books, and some of the things that are described are fascinating, because it's mm-hmm. things that I haven't seen. I don't go out on, you know, the totally wild cases. That's for the experts, right? That's for Hans
right.
and John Zaffis and all everybody, right?
Sure.
But not
sure.
me. But I'll go out on the you know, oh, this was reported to be haunted, or that was reported to be haunted, and let's go check it out. So we go and we check it out, and I don't usually see things fly across the room, and I don't ever feel in danger, right?
Right.
Except for Bonnie goes with me, and that's kind of
hey,
dangerous.
Hey, 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 mister.
See what he does? He pulls you in. It's your fault. You
I know. It's always the lady's fault.
Yeah,
oh, well, it's okay. There's two of us and one of him.
Right?
I know.
It's
he's
not
in
out very well
and I'm
me.
In the room with him. He's in big trouble.
That's okay. I'll throw an orb his way. Don't you worry.
I already got hit in the head with something. But no, I'm telling you, the I don't get in danger, but I do hear of these cases. You know,
yeah.
the Enfield Poltergeist, Amityville Horror, obviously.
Yeah.
A Haunting in Connecticut, that one.
Yeah, Daniel Farrens is doing that. Yep.
Yeah, these mm-hmm. cases where things are just going absolutely outrageous. Of course,
yeah.
Hans describes several of these. And mm-hmm. What have you been on a case like that, or was that not something that you got to go on?
Actually, like I said, you know, I had an awakening, and it really got into writing more so for me from an aunt that had passed, because we really didn't experience any loss in our family. At 36 years of age, you know, that was really, you know, probably at that time I was obviously 33, so if you go back in
right.
history, I'll lie, I was 23. women power here, okay?
Okay.
Yeah, so, you know, like I said, everybody has something that propels us to where we need to be if we're chosen, I feel. I think a lot of people just come and go. You know, there's a mix of a bag of tricks here, you know. There's no one way of doing it. And in my case, that's when I had the awakening to kind of go back, and I was told I need to write because that's where I'm going to end up, and I'm going to be in film. And, that's my destiny, regardless of the path I was in. To present time, I said to myself privately, would I go, you know, ghost hunting the way my father did? I said, you know, I was very curious for a long time, and, you know, it happened about 2 weeks ago recently. My next-door neighbor and I are very close. She and I share the same birthday. We are Aryan soulmates.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful woman. And she's been telling me off and on for 2 years that she's had things, you know, happening in her home. So I had connected with a Reiki master and medium who lives up here, who will actually be going on air with Paranormal TA, Rick Fisher, who I got him to go on, to really start to get used to the fact that it's okay to talk about this. Things happen in mediumship and that you're also a healer. These things do go hand in hand for some people. I called him up and I said, listen, you and I are not tapped, man, but, you know, let's go over there. You know, I don't have equipment. I have my digital, but I'm going to go by the way of Hans. You know, you walk in with a good medium,
yeah,
and you go for it. And yeah, so we did. And something flew by me, and I could have turned around and, like a little girl, scream and ran, and I didn't. I walked into the space that something flew right by me, which was like a yellowish-white light, which has never happened to me. And I sat there, and I looked up in that space, and I said, you want a piece of me? I said,
wow.
You know, what's the problem? You know, why are you here? Is there an issue? And I think, you know, I'm pretty out there. I'm pretty gutsy. I don't. What I think I would be afraid of when I'm in the moment, I've realized, doesn't fathoming. It's almost as if I am my father in a reincarnate, except we're both alive, so that's not possible.
She has my ghost hunting attitude.
Well, it sounds like it's in your family anyway.
Yeah.
You've got
there's something going on there. So, you know, the medium was like, no, do not go back in that room. Do not go in there. And I said, oh, please. And I went back in the cold room, you know, the typical feeling of I should not be in here. And you don't have to be, you know, psychic or impressionable to feel that. I was not afraid. I actually wanted to know why these spirits were occupying the space. Why? What is it that I can do for you to have you move on, to be with your family that's waiting for you? Why are you here? And so we came out that night with interesting information that these were people that were actually, the wife claimed she was a witch. She's from the early 1900s in the same area where we live were battlegrounds of the war. So, you know, in upstate New York, in Chester, New York, the war was fought.
Mm-hmm.
Houses were built upon that land. Well, what do you think is going to happen? There's impressions. These were souls that were once of the living like you and I, and my beautiful lady friend on the other end, and, you know, then they perished horribly.
Wow.
What do you think's going to happen? There's Confederate soldiers here. There's all sorts of memories. They don't just fade, especially if they die horribly. Why should they? They're confused, they're hurt, they're lost, you know, and that goes into the whole thing of what a ghost is and a haunting and a spirit and, you know. So I experienced that in that one outing. And we were there for 4 hours after much red wine. Let me, much needed. And thank God they were Italian, let me tell you, because they came in jugs. And I was like, you know, bring it on. And then the light started to flicker off and on, and the psychic said, his name is Ray Rolando, he said, is that you doing it? And the light did it again. And I said to my neighbor, I said, does that normally happen? She said, no. And so I knew something electrical was going on. Obviously, they tap into our energy and their energy, and so I kind of got it, and I knew I didn't have to go through the whole process, you know, growing up with my father. And logic set in, and I said, well, something's going on here. I can't explain it. I'm not going to debunk it because I haven't done 100 ghost huntings, but
right,
this is enough for me to understand that they're in our space, and they're not able to come and go as they please, so therefore they're a ghost.
And it sounds like you you got the ghost hunt of a lifetime, your very first time out.
I'm so jealous.
Fantastic. We do have to take a quick break. We're already 4 minutes over. So I'm going to go to break, and then we'll come back. And I want to know about your UFO stuff, because that's
very
just
good.
Fascinating to me as well. So this... Don't forget, everybody, when we're on break, we're playing independent music. Each of these songs has been you know, sent in. They people want us to play this, and so I want you to listen. So listen to the independent music and the little breaks that people send in to that we play, and enjoy that. And we'll be right back after that.
Dearest friends, do you ever wonder, who am I? Why am I here? What is the meaning of life? Why do I keep repeating the same patterns, and how can I change them? Why am I free from being able to have the life that I've always dreamed of, and what is stopping me from having this? How do I meditate? What is an aura, and how do I see one? How can I come to a sense of well-being physically and spiritually, always? How can I remain in a state of absolute love, that soulful love, felt and expressed from within the heart of the soul, or we may say unconditional love, bliss, peace, and spiritual oneness and life continuously? Dr. Patty Diamond, Lady Diamond, in co-creation with Spirit, shows you the path through the new book called Stepping into Spiritual Oneness, Spiritual Rememberings of the Soul Through Life Experience, available at Diamond Lady Publishing, www.diamondladypublishing.net.
Shadow governments, strange rituals, new world
shadow
order,
governments, strange
buried treasures.
Military, 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 military,
Visit OutThereRadio.net for more information.
be seeking the darker side of paranormal talk radio, look no further. Go to Y365.com and search the Paranormal Radio Show, hosted by Tommy Golden, sponsored by the Tennessee Ghost Chasers. And search the Paranormal Radio Show talks about all things on the dark side of paranormal. So tune in live on Thursdays and Fridays from 8 p.m. until 10 p.m. Central Time Zone.
Do I have to do it again? You are listening to Ghostly Talk with your host Doug and Bonnie Joe.
Thank you very much, Bonnie.
Because Scott L is not here and we've taken over.
We have, and believe it or not, on the break, here I can bring this down.
Please
too.
Do.
Thank you. On the break we were talking about independent music. Mm-hmm. That's what we were talking about. It was quite the treat.
It was actually a good conversation.
It was.
It
really went well. We're talking with...
Accordion.
Yeah. Oh, man. Can you imagine? Alexandra Holzer we're talking to.
I know.
And you do...
I'm going to write this in my journal, lady.
God help us.
This would be great. You do a column named Spirit Talk for the Paranormal Awareness Society and UFODigest.com. So you're getting out there. You're writing. You're doing
yep.
things. You're on your second book, which has been pushed up because you...
Yep.
What, did you write it too quickly? I mean, you're like, okay, you really blew our timeline. We're going to have to move
well,
you up a season. I mean, that's awesome. I think it's amazing.
It's really odd. The first book, let me tell you honestly up front, it was published by Print On Demand, which is digital printing, which
mm-hmm.
the traditional publishing industry is on the fence with that one. It's technology where if you order the book, you order it as per the order. So
mm-hmm.
in other words, it's very cost effective. However, to get a book review on that technology, good luck.
Right.
I went the wrong way, man. You know, I just completely, I had a great story. It's an epic trilogy, sci-fi for teens. And I'm working on the second one, and I think I have a publisher interested that's traditional. So hopefully that will bring back the first Lady Ambrosia book. But, you know, the second book that's coming out is a nonfiction book, and it's a memoir because the book Ghosts, that's done by Black Dog and Leventhal, the editor for my father suggested I do a memoir. And they don't do that, but, you know, she and I connected. That's what life is about. You connect with people. It doesn't mean what's in it for me. You know, it doesn't mean that she was going to go and publish this book. It just meant that it was nice to talk to somebody who worked with my father. I had respect for her. I wanted to know her, you know, that I existed. And so one thing led to another, and I sat down, and I did the research. And, yeah, I write pretty quick. I spell check. I do that. You know, I'm not perfect, but, you know, it just one thing led to another, and a lot of good traditional publishers that were not the huge, you know, houses, including, you know, Barnes & Noble, which is, you know, 70% of where my father's books lie, I couldn't get in there, you know, and I have an agent, you know. It was a whole big thing, and I felt kind of discouraged and thought, you know what, doesn't matter if somebody in the family knows somebody, doesn't necessarily mean that person's going to honor you. You still have to do it yourself or make your way. And so I did finally land in a publisher that never did a memoir before, took a chance on me, and I said, well, you know, we have a new title for my father. He's actually got two, but the first one that we felt to do is called Spirit Connections. And Schiffer Publishing, which is actually not far from where I live in Pennsylvania, they're about a couple hours away, took us on. They started a division, you know, for haunted books. And there's a beautiful woman there that just, you know, believes all this. She goes to all the conferences, you know, and is in there like you guys. And I thought this was really very fitting. So That was very quick, yeah, you know, definitely. But I did the hard work. I did the research. And with four kids, let me tell you, not easy. But I think it's there. It's meant to be. It just comes out. It flows. You're creative. There's just no time clock, you know. So, yeah, that's definitely, you know, something that will be out. And hopefully that will bring about who we are and what we're trying to do and, you know, bring attention to the other works that I've done for teens, you know, to kind of give them that fantasy lace with ghosts and spirits.
Well, I remember when I was a kid, and if my mom tried to write anything other than, like, a grocery list or something, she wouldn't have been able to do it. We were just too wild.
Too loud.
We were pretty wild kids. And there were only
three boys? Come on.
Well, there were two of us.
Oh, I have three girls and a boy, so.
Oh, really? Oh, man.
Yeah. Yeah, it's mommy. I'm like, what is it? Mommy's not here. She's off the clock, you know? you know, your mommy's that way. She's the spirit form in the other room, okay?
Right, right.
It's, to be honest with you, I don't know how I did it, and I'm still writing the second Lady Ambrosia book. And UFO Digest. I write monthly columns. Dirk Van Ploeg, who's my Canadian friend, believed in me and believed in the articles, and, you know, it started with Paranormal Awareness Society with Bill Metz, who he and I connected because he and I published under the same house, which is not traditional, and we kind of had to learn the hard way, and we kind of, you know, I actually wrote to him to get Haas on the radio because he started his own show through KDM, which was based out of Seattle.
Yeah.
And he wrote to me saying, I want to have you on. I said, me? You know, it's never about me. I'm not that kind of a person. And I think why I said back in the early part of the show, if I was ever to be known in the industry for film and what have you, I just think I would giggle at everything because I just think that's the point of why you're here. If you're meant to be heard and make a difference to a million people, then so be it. But do it for a positive purpose and not for negative. And certainly please give back if you are given, you know, things, give back, you know?
Oh, definitely.
I love her.
I
love you
fantastic.
Too.
on the UFO side, what do the UFO Digest folks, readers, how do they respond to you and what you write?
Well, it's funny because the way Dirk really has been around for quite a long time in Canada, mm-hmm. and he's written for some of the papers out there, and he started his own magazine, and he goes into PSI magazine, and he's also a monthly contributor to UFO magazine, and it basically, he connects into the internet life where everybody picks up on his stuff as, you know, because he really puts out a lot of good writers and great articles, including Betty Hill and Patrick Cook and, you know, all the people that you would want to read about, you know. And I was fortunate enough just to keep pursuing trying to get my monthly column out with, you know, from Paranormal Awareness Society because they're you know, kind of limited to what they're doing because they're also trying to do their thing, but they're based in Florida. And I said, well, can I please take this to another place and spread Spirit Talk, which I came up with? And they said, absolutely, we support you. And I thought that was a very cool thing because I felt the need to ask permission because, you know, they granted me that outlet, that platform, if you will, to be very cutting edge in my writing about the paranormal. And so that led me to UFO Digest, which responded back saying, okay. And so every month I try to kind of top every article on the paranormal, and I will get to an article on the UFOs this winter. You know, I've put out for September already that's coming out. October will have to be something eerie.
Of course.
But not typical witches and things like that because I cannot stand the obvious. I think part of being really creative is to come up with something that's just as great in something that you would not assume. I think that's very cool. And I will come out with UFOs probably November or December, depending. When you hear the name UFO, you know, you automatically assume. But again, like I said earlier in the show again, paranormal umbrella.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I don't, you know, personally, Loch Ness Monster and things like that, Bigfoot, I don't know too much about, so I can't comment too much about it, you know. Maybe in a year or two I might get to that point.
Do you know what's interesting about that? And I know you were going somewhere with that, but I
no,
got
fine.
To interject. The area where you are, okay, Sounds remarkably similar to a place that I was just Bigfoot hunting. I went Bigfoot hunting in, well, near Elmira, New York.
Yeah, that's funny.
And we went up to a place called Connecticut Hill.
Yeah.
And it's more of a mountain. And,
and Doug had to go mountain climbing, and he hated it.
Yes,
here in New York, mountains, pish posh. Go ahead.
But I have to say, it was quite the experience. We didn't see. I had never been Bigfoot hunting, but I've always been interested in like Loch Ness Monster, Bigfoot, Mothman.
Right.
We go to the Mothman Festival in West Virginia every year.
Yes, that's interesting.
All these different things, these creatures, these things that people see. These are normal people. They see these creatures. They don't know what they are. They describe them. They draw pictures. They get on the news and they're thought that they're crazy. But but they really did see something. I mean, and so these people up at Connecticut Hill, you know, they're walking down the road, or they're sitting there having a picnic, or they're doing these things, and they see a Bigfoot, and then they try and tell someone. And I don't know why it is, though, that when I went Bigfoot hunting, we had to actually walk through the wilderness part, the part where people don't go. And, you know, I mean, that was a lot of strenuous exercise, and I'm not a size 4.
Honey, I still wouldn't be able
None
to do that long. I pushed out 4 children. I'm done.
But I tell you, I'm definitely a big guy, and I don't, all that strenuous activity was not in keeping with my normal mode of habits, which is, you know, relaxing.
Right.
So
breathing,
just sort of breathing every now and then. I said, why did we have to go traipsing through the woods instead of like standing where he's seen, you know, on the road, or you know, set up a little lawn chair or something and wait for him? And they said, no, well, we're looking for where he lives.
Oh, where he lives?
Yeah,
okay.
Where does he live?
I'd
rather
he lets
just see.
Us know, you know.
Yeah, I know. How about if you just find
Doug
out?
Doug just wanted to take
when
a chair, sit on the side of
the
road.
The postcard written on the bark, you know, we'll go back. I mean,
Bigfoot this way.
Yeah, that. You know. This is the stuff that I'm not. I don't debunk. I don't do any of that. And James Ramsey, I have much respect for him because, you know, there's a lot of stuff out there that's just not real.
Right.
You got to have that.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is, in order to see for yourself, you must go and do what you did. Experience it. Don't put people down. Go do it yourself. And if you're not in the situation that you can, then just let it be and let it rest.
Mm-hmm.
Go on with your life and have a happy day, you know?
And
I mean,
I agree. You know, why not let the people who say they saw Bigfoot say they saw Bigfoot?
What is the worst thing? Are they bombing you? Are they creating another war? No. The bottom line is we need this in life just as we need the movies and entertainment. Why do we go see a movie that we know is totally ridiculous? Because we want to see the explosions and the things happen on screen. We want a great story to be told. We want to leave after 2 hours feeling, wow. That's the way life works, because on the other end of it, we have to go home and maybe get that phone call that, you know, Grandma, you know, Sylvia's not doing so well.
Right.
I mean, it's life. It's life. I mean, that's the whole point of all of it. So Bigfoot or not, it doesn't matter. You know, Nessie or not, there's something that happens, and there are people that witnessed it, and there's always going to be people that are going to say yes or no.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the whole point of scientific research is to always come out with better conclusions, better theories, better stories, which is always going to be mixed in with debunkers and skepticism, and you have to respect it as well. They have to earn a living, and, you know, there's always, you know, positive and negative. But what you believe, what you take with you at the end of the day is what makes you you, and wake up in the next morning and be able to live with yourself and the life that you lead, because that's what's most important. Because it's about you and how you live your life.
Are you going to be going to any paranormal conventions?
We were invited to University Con in Pennsylvania, Penn State.
Yeah.
Ryan Bull.
Oh yeah.
He's really very sweet. You know, he wanted my father out there, and I would love to ship him out there if I could, and he could stay there. Let me tell you. the sad truth is Hans is no longer able to walk as well. He's had 2 leg injuries in over 2 years. 87 years old. Mine, sharp as a tack. That's why we're still, you know, able to get out another title, which is, you know, for him, 146 will be the number for him. Plus a musical. A musical is coming up, actually, possibly. We've reconnected from 1959 to a family from UFO Digest with an interview I had. He did one with Dirk Van Plug. I had it edited. We did it. Found him after 1959 in the New York Times had posted that he was going to do the musical for a family from French immigrants who were, they were restaurateurs, I think they called them, were the proper term, in New York City, that actually created New York City nightlife, you know, the whole bustle, if you will. And that actually just came about 2 days ago. So who knows where that's going to go. But, oh, goodness. So,
this is amazing. I mean, all these opportunities are just totally throwing them at your doorstep, and I love it.
Well, not without dealing with agents that are out in L.A., not to put them down or debunk them, if I may add. But, you know, I'm not part of that stuff. I don't think I would ever understand Hollywood, and nor would I want to. I think it's more about, listen, if you've got connections and you've got a great story in front of you and you've got somebody that put their whole life about this issue, whether it be Amityville or just the paranormal, give them that respect, because you know what? You know it's going to sell at the end of the day.
Oh, yeah.
But give them the respect and do it properly and listen to what they have to say as you would an elderly in your family that has lived through a war. Give them that respect.
And I agree, especially, you know, the folks who've been out there. I mean, because there's Hans Holzer, of course. There's Lorraine Warren, who, by the way, is going to UNIFCON. She's going to be there.
Yes, she is. She's going to be there. And again, you know, like I would love to be there, but I think I haven't established enough for myself to even be, you know, somebody to be there. I know Taft, you know, is going to be there, and all these people that are in it now, and they should be. You know, I did write to Ryan about trying to get him maybe wired to just do like a TV appearance.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Oh, that would be fantastic.
I haven't heard back, so, you know, I'm going to try him again this week and see if that's anything they can do, because he's moving around right now. And that's the best we can do for him. He's been around the longest, so therefore he's got to be able to do what he can do.
Well, he's definitely left quite a big shoe to fill. I don't know if anybody will be able to do it. But
size, what am I, 8?
So we'll have to
I don't know. A
wardrobe of shoes in his shoe, because quite a big shoe to fill, but I really appreciate all these opportunities that are happening for you and for him and
I
for
hope.
All these paranormal folks. I mean, it's really picking
good
up.
For all of them. And you know what? Even the ones that are tapping into it just to get it out there, but it maybe not be 100% real. You know, it's okay, because any attention to it is good attention. As long as you're not hurting anybody, there's nothing wrong with it. But the ones that are really making a difference and really pointing out information and showing those photos and things that you can't explain, I think that's the way to be. And I think it's always going to be that way. And hopefully we'll come out with better technology and, you know, things that, of course, is not in Hans's era. He'll never understand it because, you know, like I said, he went in pushing those doors back, walking into a very haunted place and saying, okay, what do you got? What do you need? Where do you want to go, you know? And he was tough, man. He was Indiana Jones back then for ghosts. You know, he was just, you can't, nowadays you've got camera crews and you've got equipment. I mean, it's really very, I don't know, handed down to you, almost like a pair of clothes from your siblings, you know.
Well, hopefully.
He didn't have that.
Hopefully it'll just get better and better. We're at the top of the hour, though, Alexandra. Yes.
Unfortunately.
So this is like the end of the show. I have to say thank you so much. Do hang on the line. Oh, do you have a website?
I do. We're almost done with it, but it is up and running. It's called hauntingholzer.com.
Oh, that's so cool. Hauntingholzer.com. I'll get that.
You can find us on the imdb.com, and you can Google us, and you'll find the latest and the greatest. So.
That's entirely true. As your second book, and Hans's 157th, comes out, if you want to come back on and, like, say, all right, it's coming out, you know, soon.
I would love it. Yeah, I definitely would be honored to come back in the wintertime before the release.
I would love it. That would be awesome. And then you'll get to talk to Scott L. as well.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe he'll show up
unless,
and make his
unless we make him leave.
Yeah.
I can make him disappear. I have some witchcraft. I have some really great
there
spells.
There we go. That sounds awesome.
I'm going to be emailing you later about this information.
Alexandra Holzer, thank you so much. Do stay on the line.
Okay.
If you get a chance. Now, Bonnie.
Yes, Doug.
What do you think?
I didn't do it.
What do you think of a show sans Scott L.? Has this been the first one? I don't know.
I think
it's just amazing.
I don't know if we've ever done one without Scott before.
So this will be, I think, a first. We'll find out. I would like to thank Alexandra Holzer. I'd like to thank Jeremy Hawthorne and, of course, Kurt Richardson. And congratulations to Terry,
our contest winner,
for winning the contest, the Mid-South Paranormal Convention tickets. I'd like to thank each and every listener out there for listening and putting up with us for these past 3 hours. And we'll be back for more fun and excitement next Sunday, 6 p.m. till 9 p.m. Eastern Time on your favorite station and or internet website. So,
whatever.
This has been Doug.
I'm still Bonnie.
And this was Ghostly Talk. See you all next week.
I need to go someplace where a man can think.
The media become the media.